Catch Me If You Can, The Case of Tom Alexandrovich. From August 2 to 7, 2025, while the Black Hat USA Cybersecurity Conference was underway at Mandalay Bay, Nevada law enforcement ran a multi-agency sting aimed at online child predators. The Nevada Internet Crimes Against Children, ICAC, Task Force, together with the FBI, Homeland Security Investigations, the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department, and Henderson Police, posed as underage children online, gathering incriminating chat logs and arranging meetings designed to confirm intent. Eight men were arrested. Among them was Tom Artyom Alexandrovich, a senior Israeli cyber official attending the conference. He was booked into the Henderson Detention Center on August 6, 2025, and charged with luring a child with use of a computer for a sex act under NRS 201.560, a Category B felony carrying 1 to 10 years in prison and a fine of up to $10,000. Stings like this are common in Las Vegas. A 2024 operation arrested 18 men on similar charges. What was unusual here was the profile of one suspect, a man entrusted with safeguarding Israel's national cyber defenses, who was back in Israel less than 2 weeks later. Who is Tom Alexandrovich? Alexandrovich was not a marginal bureaucrat. He was the head of the Technological Defense Division within the Israel National Cyber Directorate, INCD, which operates under the direct authority of the Prime Minister's office. He helped design CyberDome, Israel's ambitious AI-powered cyber defense system, modeled after the Iron Dome missile defense shield. He was awarded the Israel Defense Prize for his contributions. He advised Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and other senior officials on cyber defense, AI strategy, and national resilience. His LinkedIn profile, deleted shortly after his arrest, described him as an executive director and cybersecurity leader with broad access to state secrets. Given Israel's doctrine of preemptive security, it is also reasonable to assume Alexandrovich's remit extended beyond pure defense into offensive information operations. Israel's cyber unit is known to coordinate takedown requests with Meta, Google, and X, ostensibly to combat incitement, but in practice often to suppress political content unfavorable to Israel. As Israel's AI mastermind, Alexandrovich was plausibly involved in the automation of these censorship systems, a kind of digital Hasbara, or narrative management, dressed up as counterterrorism. That made him not just a cyber defender, but a strategic custodian of Israel's online influence campaigns. Dash. Bail conditions, what should have happened? Under Nevada law, bail is supposed to reflect gravity of the crime. Child luring is a serious felony. Bail is often set very high or denied outright. Strength of evidence, sting operations usually produce airtight digital records, including chat logs and intent proof. Flight risk, Alexandrovich had no ties to Nevada, lived in Israel, and had the means to leave quickly. Financial resources, bail must be set high enough to matter to the defendant. What deters a working-class Nevadan should not be pocket change to a wealthy foreign official. For an average defendant, bail in such cases might be $50,000, $150,000, with conditions such as surrendering all passports and travel documents, electronic monitoring, geographic restrictions within Nevada, sometimes denial of bail altogether. Instead, Alexandrovich was released the day after his arrest on a $10,000 bond. This was not a meaningful deterrent. Alexandrovich's true income was almost certainly in the $300,000 to $600,000 annual range, if not higher, far above published averages for government salaries. Like many Israeli cyber officials, he likely augmented his government pay through consulting, industry links, or indirect involvement in defense contracting. For him, $10,000 was not a financial obstacle, it was the equivalent of a traffic ticket for a low-wage worker. Even worse, there's no public record that his passport was seized. Two possibilities follow. 1. He was allowed to keep his Israeli passport, a glaring oversight for someone so obviously a flight risk. 2. If his passport was surrendered, the Israeli embassy could have issued him an emergency travel document. Either way, his departure could still have been blocked if U.S. authorities had placed him on the no-fly list. That never happened. By August 17, he was back in Israel, gone before Nevada prosecutors had time to prepare for a first substantive hearing. Israel's vested interest. Why did Israel act so quickly? Because Alexandrovich was more than just a bureaucrat. He knew the architecture of CyberDome and the vulnerabilities it protects. He advised Netanyahu on AI strategy and national resilience. He likely had intimate knowledge of online censorship mechanisms Israel uses to shape public perception abroad. He carried insights into Israel's cyber alliances with the U.S. and others. For Israel, the prospect of a senior cyber strategist sitting in a Nevada jail, potentially vulnerable to interrogation, leaks, or plea bargaining, was intolerable. The government's response was telling. Officials initially claimed he had only been questioned, not arrested, and had returned as scheduled. Only later did the cyber directorate concede that he had been placed on leave by mutual decision. The contradiction suggests a coordinated effort to downplay and obscure the reality. Broader implications. The Alexandrovich affair is about more than one man. It exposes the uneasy intersection of justice, diplomacy, and national security. Justice: an ordinary defendant in his position would have faced high bail, monitoring, and a trial. Alexandrovich walked free after one night in jail. Diplomacy: was the lenient bail a simple judicial lapse, or the result of diplomatic backchanneling by Israel and U.S. officials who preferred to avoid a scandal? Secrecy: had he remained in U.S. custody, Alexandrovich might have revealed, whether under pressure, accidentally, or in plea negotiations, details of Israel's cyber Hasbara operations, exposing how takedowns and censorship are managed behind the scenes. There is also precedent. Israel has a long history of protecting nationals accused of crimes abroad. Samuel Sheinbein, 1997, fled to Israel after a U.S. murder charge. Israel refused extradition. Malka Leifer, accused of child sex abuse in Australia, fought extradition from Israel for over a decade. Simon Leviev, Tinder swindler, evaded European fraud charges, sheltered by the law of return. In this light, Alexandrovich's return to Israel looks less like chance and more like a well-worn pattern. Conclusion: who governs whom? For ordinary people, Las Vegas sting operations end in high bail, passport surrender, and long court battles. For Alexandrovich, it was a one-night stay in Henderson Detention Center, a $10,000 bond, and a fast flight home. This disparity raises a larger, unsettling question: where does U.S. sovereignty end and foreign influence begin? When a high-profile foreign official, one entrusted with state secrets and suspected of engineering online censorship systems, can evade the American justice system with such ease, it suggests that geopolitics trumps justice. Ultimately, the case of Tom Alexandrovich is not just about a man accused in a sting. It is about the uncomfortable reality that when state secrets and powerful alliances are at stake, justice becomes negotiable, bail becomes symbolic, and the rule of law bends under political weight.